Welcome to the Michael Rivero What Really Happened radio program.
Welcome to our show today. It is Thursday, the 1st of June, 2023. Sure happy it's Thursday. As usual, it's a very, very busy news day. We're going to try and get through as much as we can before it's time to open up the phone lines for your comments, questions, observations, and opinions. Mike is in our control room taking care of business, so let's get right on into it. The big news right now is just now breaking, and it involves President Joe Biden attending the Air Force Academy commencement ceremony, handing out the diplomas to the graduates. And before we get to the main part of the story, he had some kind of his usual gaffes. He told the Air Force graduates that he applied to the Naval Academy after graduating high school. Last year, he told the Naval Academy graduates that he was appointed to the Naval Academy in 1965. There is no record of these things ever happening. It's kind of getting back to his fairy tale about the death of his son, Bo, here. And Biden also told the Air Force Academy graduates that the Quad, this is an organization between Australia, India, Japan, and the United States, did not exist before we took office. Again, inaccurate. The Quad was reestablished in 2017 under President Trump. And there was a flyover during the ceremony, and Biden said, by the way, I met with who are those guys that fly over shortly? You've heard of them, haven't you? Three of them are women, so don't screw around, guys. Okay, now, the reason all of this is coming to the forefront right now is Joe Biden took a nasty, nasty fall. He had handed out the last diploma, and he turned and appeared to just basically trip over his own feet, and he hit that stage very, very hard. And, you know, the Secret Service and an Air Force officer picked him up. Watching how he went down, Biden doesn't know the correct way to take a fall to avoid injury. And he appeared to be okay. He hobbled back to his seat. But, you know, given his age, you know, you can't really be sure. We don't know if he sustained any injuries. And, of course, if he did, they probably wouldn't mention it anyway. But taking a fall at that age can be very dangerous. And sometimes the injuries can actually take a while to manifest themselves. By way of example, last year, Claire took a nasty fall. And immediately after, she thought she was just fine. Next day, she got up in intense pain and ultimately wound up having surgery because she'd fractured her neck. They had to go in there and put a screw to literally put her back together. So, you know, Biden needs to be in a hospital getting a full checkup right now. You know, I don't like his politics. I don't like his personality. But I really am not taking any pleasure in seeing him physically hurt. And I have to admit, I was a little taken aback by some of the social media comments. I mean, you know, we're not talking politics here. We're talking about, you know, the health of an individual. And that's not something that I can get into making fun about here. All right. The other big news is, as expected last night, the House passed the Fiscal Responsibility Act. And they had about an hour of debate. It passed on a 314 to 117 vote. Over 70 Republicans voted against the bill. And the situation is that more Democrats voted for it than Republicans. So McCarthy was relying on the Democrats to push it through here. And they're saying, you know, it's going to be $4 trillion in additional spending. But I keep hearing this phrase that this bill actually suspends the debt ceiling until after the 2024 elections. And I'm trying to get some clarification on that, whether there is a $4 trillion cap on the debt limit or they've simply suspended it. Because if they've suspended it, you know, Biden can create all the money out of thin air that he needs to go to war against Russia and China and whoever all else that he wants to go, you know, to war against. A lot of people very critical of the deal. Basically, Stockman said the Speaker McCarthy's deal was a rotten deal. And, you know, a lot of people are unhappy because, you know, the Republicans, the House passed a reasonable debt limit bill. just a short while ago, and McCarthy said that was what he was going to hold out for in his negotiations with Biden's negotiators, and he didn't keep to that deal. Now, Lindsey Graham is not happy with the deal because there's no additional money there to help Ukraine. And so he's unhappy about that. And nobody's really happy about this thing. It's increased taxes, increased government intrusion into our lives here. And in a candid moment, House Majority Leader Kevin McCarthy admitted he had not seen about 89% of the debt ceiling deal with Joe Biden. He doesn't know exactly what's in there. It's very opaque and ambiguous. And he was being interviewed by Fox News, and Harris Faulkner said, "Why didn't you see the whole budget?" And basically, McCarthy said, because the president walled off all the others. The majority driver of the budget is mandatory spending. It's Medicare, so you only have 11% to look at in this budget. I disagree. Remember when they were passing Obamacare, and Nancy Pelosi said, well, we had to pass it to see what was in it. I mean, this is the same kind of thinking. And there is still talk about McCarthy being voted out of the speakership by the Republicans, who basically are feeling very much betrayed. I don't think it's actually going to happen, but they may go through the ceremony of a vote here. Needless to say, stock futures rose after the House passes the debt deal, and they had a very good day on the stock market today. Let's see how it ended up here. And very much in the green. Actually, it dipped toward the end. It was up almost 300 on the Dow. Now it's down to 153. So we'll see what's going to happen on that. So, yeah, some people really liked it here. Now, it's come on out in this report from Zero Hedge that McCarthy reportedly gave Democrats secret concessions in exchange for their yes votes on the debt ceiling. And Axios is reporting that House Speaker Kevin McCarthy gave Minority Leader Hakeem Jeffries secret concessions to boost spending on Democratic districts in the form of community project funding in exchange for their votes earlier this evening. So a little bit of back-channeled deal-making going on there. So as I mentioned before, the far-right GOP members are very angry with McCarthy. The House Freedom Caucus, you know, were under the impression that they were driving the debt ceiling process. After all, they were the ones who came up with the plan that passed the chamber last month. And McCarthy said he would fight to secure their regressive policies. He did not. And so, again, they're talking about pushing to strip McCarthy over the speakership over his deal with Joe Biden. Now, a lot of people are justified in saying, where is all this money going? I mean, the federal government takes about one-third of everything that you earn, and there's still $31 trillion in debt. Now, to me, that is bad management, okay? But apparently, according to this article that came on out of the Daily Mail, billions of dollars in money are spent on these ridiculous and pointless projects around the world. And apparently over $1.3 billion has been funneled abroad to China and Russia through these pointless projects. This is a compilation of taxpayer-funded grants uncovered by Senator Joni Ernst. And a nonprofit transparency group Open the Books worked with Ernst to put together a new analysis of data from usaspending.gov, which found that between 2017 and 2022, U.S.-funded grants and contracts amounted to $490 million were paid to Chinese organizations, and another $870 million was sent to entities in Russia. Now, some of that money is probably being used to fund groups and organizations opposed to those governments, part of the destabilization process. But the study found that the State Department handed nearly $58.7 million to China and used nearly $100,000 of that sum to promote gender equality awareness through a series of New Yorker cartoons. Apparently, the Department of Health and Human Services shelled out over $770,000 to a state-run lab in Russia to put cats on treadmills. I mean, that's how silly some of this used to get. There used to be a U.S. senator, I'm blanking on his name right now, but he used to hand out his Golden Fleece Awards, where he was going on out and talking about things like, you know, the incredible markups on things sold to the military-industrial complex. You know, you can go down to your local hardware store and you can get a hammer for a few bucks. And when the military procurement process got done with it, that hammer would cost hundreds and hundreds of dollars here. Now, the Senate has now passed the bill repealing Biden's student debt relief. And it was a 51-46 vote, and the bill will repeal Biden's debt cancellation program and nullify the pause on monthly payments and interest. The downside of that, of course, will be that, you know, household spending will decline because those payments are having to be made. And the goes withness is definitely going to be there. Okay, now, actor James Vanderbeek, who's best known for his role in Dawson's Creek, slammed the Democratic Party this week for refusing to allow President Joe Biden to be subjected to the rigors of a primary debate. And he basically came on out and said, you know, what the heck? And of course, I'm sure that the Democrats are working to not have anybody step in for the Democratic nomination. Then they don't have to do the debates. But it's another indication that Biden just really isn't up to this situation. In fact, one of the comments that I saw on the video of Biden taking that nasty fall was, you know, it's elder abuse to run him again in 2024. Now, there was a little bit of a kerfuffle over at the White House press room, and White House spokesman John Kirby was at the microphone, and reporter Stephen Nelson from the New York Post got into his question and said, what do you say to the majority of Americans who believe that the president is himself corrupt? And John Kirby just, you know, muttered out a quick denial and left the podium. Meanwhile, Karine Jean-Pierre was caught on an open microphone just saying, Jesus. So I have a feeling Stephen Nelson is about to get his White House press credentials revoked here. Meanwhile, Joe Biden stopped to chat with reporters on the South Lawn, and Peter Ducey asked why Biden hasn't done any campaign rallies, and Joe Biden simply turned and walked away. You know, Biden's obviously counting on election fraud to give him his second term. Now, there's a new name entering the circle of scandal, if you will, regarding Hunter Biden, and it's Kevin Morris. And he's Hunter Biden's new BFF. He's a globalist Hollywood lawyer who pays Hunter's bills and cleans up his messes, taking the title of Biden's sugar daddy to a whole new level. And apparently, Morris donated $50,000 to Americans Keeping Country First, an organization that supported the pro-Trump impeachment Republicans. Morris first became close with Hunter Biden when he helped finish Hunter's memoir for him, and they have gotten friendlier from there. Okay. Now, it's almost kind of reassuring in a way that we're seeing more and more whistleblowers come forward. And, of course, they're taking huge risks, not just with their careers, but with their very lives. So apparently some whistleblowers from the Department of Justice have told Senator Chuck Grassley that evidence against Hunter Biden was placed in highly restricted systems that prevent other FBI officials from reviewing the materials. So even inside the FBI, this is all being covered up here. And the whistleblower said that derogatory evidence related to Hunter Biden is automatically labeled disinformation, even after it's already been verified to be true and accurate. So the cover-up is going on. Okay, now there is a new website. It's called BidenLaptopMedia.com, and it contains about 10,000 photos from Hunter Biden's laptop. Okay, and apparently this organization went through the photos for a couple of months, basically blotting out genitalia and things like that, and adding a watermark here. And the server is a little bit slow because a lot of people are signing on to see it. And it's not nearly as well indexed as some people might like. So it's like trying to find specifically the photos involving illegal drugs. You have to do a little digging on that. But they, this organization, they took out some photos that they didn't think were really conveying any news. They took out any photos that showed identifying information like credit card numbers or social security numbers, all very wise and prudent things to do. They also did not take out family photos that Hunter Biden had on there as well. I mean, there was a lot of photos on there of just Hunter Biden with members of the family and Hunter Biden, you know, doing cool stuff. So, it's an objective look at the photos on the laptop, but it's still worth taking a look at. And again, that's BidenLaptopMedia.com. So there we are. Now, Senator Ted Cruz has slammed the Biden administration's Department of Homeland Security this week for a program that paid millions of dollars to a far-left university group that links conservatives to Nazis. Okay, so we're all being described as Nazis now. I mean, that really is ridiculous. Actually, it kind of underscores the desperation that is going through the Democrat liberal establishment right now. Meanwhile, this same university program is claiming that certain media outlets like InfoWars are part of a far-right extremist network. Okay, that it's all organized. It's a vast right-wing conspiracy, to paraphrase Hillary Clinton. And we're definitely getting into the mudslinging. Okay, getting on back to the FBI and that FD 1023 form. It's been going back and forth. First of all, Chris Wray confirmed that the document exists. And then earlier in the day, in order to avoid a contempt of Congress charge, Chris Wray said that he would allow leaders of the Oversight Committee to view the FD 1023 form. And, it's on that bulletin board down at the end of the hall, so take a quick look. And the last word we have is that Chris Wray has relented, and the FD 1023 is now in the hands of congressional investigators. So we'll see what's going to come of that. But there are indications, based on how desperate the cover-up has been, there could be a really, really huge scandal behind there. One that they're not going to be able to keep under wraps for the next year's elections, the way they kept the Hunter Biden laptop and all this other stuff. Now, over at the National Archives and Records Administration, they are refusing to hand over requested communications between Hunter Biden and then Vice President Joe Biden's staff. And there was a Freedom of Information Act request by America First Legal. It's been rejected by the National Archives, which is claiming an exemption that allegedly includes communications between the president and his advisors, as well as communications between advisors. Now, NARA confirmed the existence of these existing communications, but it simply refused to release them. So, the FBI, now they've changed their mind, but at first they were refusing to withhold that document. The Secret Service is withholding the visitor logs from the Delaware House, Joe Biden's Delaware House, and now the National Archives. Could they make it any more obvious that Biden has something to hide and that all of these government institutions are now part of the cover-up? I haven't seen so many government agencies cooperating with each other in a cover-up since the assassination of John F. Kennedy here. Now, there is a witness to the Biden family corruption, Gal Luft, and he went missing, simply disappeared, and a lot of people wondered if he had wound up in Fort Marcy Park or in a small plane wreck. But apparently, he called the New York Post from an undisclosed location and said he's living as a fugitive out of concern that he could, he's the victim of political persecution by the U.S. to protect Joe Biden and Hunter Biden and brother Jim Biden. And he says the chances of me getting a fair trial in Washington is zero. And so he skipped bail. We've got to take a break for commercials. And we'll be right back.
Have you been looking for a trusted long-term storable food company? We have a solution for you. Simply Clean Foods is dedicated to providing the best quality food you can buy next to fresh from a farmer's market. Our line of resealable fruits, vegetables, and meats are suitable for everyday use, and you won't have to worry about throwing away valuable groceries ever again. Our food is completely GMO-free, and our stringent quality controls, plus testing for heavy metals, makes us unique in the storable foods market. Simply Clean Foods' primary focus is to bring clean food to people all around the world and change the way we look at freeze-dried food in our daily cooking. When you purchase from Simply Clean Foods, not only will you be receiving high-quality food, but you will also be supporting veterans in need across the country and those who are affected by natural disasters.
Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on long-term food storage in the rotating sponsors banners to support RBN.
Simply Clean Foods. Do it today.
For the past 14 years, it's been my privilege to host the National Intel Report on RBN, to offer a platform to interview exceptional guests, to provoke critical thought, and examine evidence, whether real, fake, or somewhere in between, and allow our audience to call in and participate with your input and questions, in order to help us all reach an educated decision and arrive at our own truth. Our world has changed. It's now been turned on its head. Real is now considered fake, and mainstream fake is now pushed as real, rather than any clear thinking, consensus, or rationale.
Those few remaining beacons of light, the ones still shining through the mainstream media lies, propaganda, and deception, are being viciously attacked at every level through attempts at censorship, threatening advertisers, jailing hosts, and even killing journalists brave enough to speak the truth to you. We are in a war for our very freedom and existence, and through these despicable acts, freedom haters, collectivists, and communitarians have shown they will stop at nothing to blot out these last few beacons of light. Truth is becoming increasingly more difficult to unmask, just as the term unmasking itself is spoken by those usually anonymous sources. They promote their lies, wishing to mask the truths by ignoring it, vilifying it, or conspiratorializing it into a black hole abyss.
Regrettably, RBN has reached the tipping point, and through internal audit and actuarial review, it has now been determined that the only life raft of survival to this network is to go the way of PBS, that being audience-supported. Like a cornered animal, the left with veracity is pulling out all the stops with every effort to effectively blacken our beacon forever. Help us, folks. Help yourselves. Don't let our light stop shining. Our motto has always been, because you can handle the truth. It's time to review your budget, folks. If you want the truth to keep flowing through RBN, go to republicbroadcasting.org and become a regular monthly donor of 30, 40, 50, or 100 or more a month and ensure you keep the truth flowing.
Forced to carry his own cross while we drive nails in his coffin. You might say it is routine. It happens far too often. A decorated soldier, veteran of the war. Who would have thought that he would be among the sick and poor? Preacher man wags his head while the rich man.
And welcome back to our show. We're discussing politics, and former Vice President Mike Pence will reportedly launch a campaign for the presidency next week at an event in Iowa. And we'll see how he's going to do. And now, a lot of people are stepping on in to the GOP primary, and whether they're just doing it for ego reasons or to try and take votes away from Donald Trump. Politics is a dirty business, and We don't need any ghosts come from the grave to tell us that. And a lot of people are talking about, I'm going to get into politics, you know, because I want to be insanely rich. And somebody who's already rich, J.P. Morgan boss Jamie Dimon, is now talking about getting into politics once he steps down from the job at J.P. Morgan, and claims he's already got high-profile backing. And, you know, he's hinting at a potential run for office. And we're going to have the money junkies back in charge of the government. Personally, I don't think I would be interested in voting for the gentleman, which is rather interesting, you know, because up until recently he said he denied considering a run for the presidency and said he was going to stay at the bank for five more years. And so he may change his mind here. All righty. Now, Stuart Rhodes, okay? The founder of Oath Keepers has basically responded to the fact that he was sentenced to 18 years in prison. And he was sentenced to 18 years by far-left Obama-appointed U.S. District Judge Amit Mehta, who then lectured on what a danger to society he is, okay? Now, Rhodes is currently 57, and if this unconstitutional conviction stands, Rhodes will be 75 when he is released, okay? And this all came about because of this guilty verdict of seditious conspiracy, which is one of those vague little terms that the government loves to come up with in order to justify what they're doing. Now, so far, this D.C. jury has found every single Trump supporter guilty of something. In the case of some of these people, you know, like Stuart Rhodes never went inside the Capitol. He did not commit any acts of violence. He didn't instruct anyone to go inside the Capitol like Ray Epps did. He was unarmed, didn't carry any weapons, and there was no plan to enter the Capitol building. There was no scheme to take over the government. This whole thing is a complete and total sham. Now, seditious conspiracy isn't a real crime to anyone but the U.S. government. To be convicted of seditious conspiracy, the charge levied against Stuart Rhodes, who was sentenced to 18 years, you know, you don't have to engage in violence against the government. You don't have to vandalize government property or even trespass on property the government has declared off limits to the general public. To be convicted of seditious conspiracy, one need only foment a revolution. Okay? And Stuart Rhodes was not doing that. So what is this whole seditious conspiracy thing about? This is about empowering the government to wage war on individuals whose political ideas and expressions challenge the government's power, reveal the government's corruption, expose the government's lies, and encourage the citizenry to push back against the injustices from this government. This is about criminalizing political expression in thoughts, words, and deeds. It is a clear violation of the First Amendment and another sign that we have, in fact, lost our republic and are living in a dictatorship. All right, getting into the media, Elon Musk did an interview this week and says he eventually wants Twitter to evolve into a platform that provides a wide range of services, including financial services. That will be interesting to see here. All right, there is a website called IMDb.com, which stands for the Internet Movie Database. And they have all kinds of articles about current movies, old movies. They have articles about people who work in the industry. I've even got a listing over there myself. And the box office numbers and audience reviews for woke movies have been tanking. And efforts to negate that problem are clearly part of the Hollywood machine's promotion budget. And that is really obvious in the case of the live-action release of Disney's The Little Mermaid. Now, the Internet Movie Database has taken unorthodox measures to curb the influx of terrible reviews the movie is getting. And in the audience review section for The Little Mermaid, IMDb added the note, "Our rating mechanism has detected unusual voting activity on this title. To preserve the reliability of our rating system, an alternate weighting calculation has been applied." So apparently IMDb feels that if an audience doesn't like the film that much, the website has decided that it should alter the actual review numbers to make it look like people like the movie and encourage people to go and see it here. And they haven't revealed how the new way that they're calculating the score, but basically IMDb is admitting they've decided to alter the numbers in an arbitrary way. And by the way, this isn't the first time we have seen these movie rating sites hijack this. We've got to take another break for commercials. We'll be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Hey there, are you going to wait till the cows come home to get your new ease-off drop-in lift?
What in the world is an ease-off drop-in lift?
Our ease-off is a new tool to increase production for your meat processing company that will get that whole hog or half a beef on or off your rail with our remote control.
That sounds great, but can I afford it?
Sure, and the ease-off installs fast. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue, speed up your line, and increase profits.
Okay, I'm convinced. Where can I get my ease-off?
Go to easeoff.com. That's EAZEOFF.com. And hurry, because we're offering free shipping for a limited time. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
EaseOff LLC, 417-932-6419.
Hello, hello, hello from beautiful Colorado. My name is Samuel Jung Kay, and I am currently the lead shilajit hunter and master herbalist for Colorado Shilajit Company. In this video series, I will be discussing what we believe is the greatest of all adaptogenic superfoods and the single greatest natural healing remedy gifted to us by Mother Earth. I think you too will become as excited by this incredible substance called shilajit as we were and are after our discovery of this amazing gift right here in beautiful, colorful Colorado. You may already know shilajit by other names: shilajit, momio, momi, mami, mineral pitch, asphaltum, and others. Shilajit literally translates to destroyer of weakness and conqueror of mountains. Shilajit has been in use for thousands of years and is considered as the highest valued cure-all of any earthly substance.
Look for the gold mountain and medical symbol logo in banners on republicbroadcasting.org to watch the full video and see more information. Use code GORBN when ordering. That's G-O-R-B-N.
Extendivite, a 7-herb combination of garlic, cayenne, hawthorn, bilberry, ginkgo biloba, valerian, and milk thistle. Extendivite is designed to strengthen the heart and arteries and help the body heal itself. Doctors are not able to explain the improvements they are seeing in their patients' health who are taking Extendivite. People who once needed more pills are now taking less and getting better. Due to the unexplainable improvements in their patients' health, more doctors are calling to order Extendivite for themselves. Help Extendivite make your doctor a believer. Extendivite is available in capsule or liquid form for just $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To get started, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
A living in dangerous days, and I am frightened by what you say. It chills right to the core, this talk of holy war.
Welcome back to our show here, and we're talking about media. Now, Project Veritas has sued James O'Keefe, trying to enforce restrictive covenants in O'Keefe's employment agreement, effectively trying to shut down O'Keefe's new media operation, the O'Keefe Media Group. And apparently somebody somewhere wants him silenced, or, you know, wants to control, you know, who gets embarrassed on these interviews here. And apparently there was a covenant not to compete in his contract. And, of course, O'Keefe was forced out a little bit earlier in the year here. Now, there is a story that is making the rounds. We haven't been able to confirm it just yet, but Dan Strack has reportedly resigned as executive director of Project Veritas and Project Veritas Action. Strack said the past 4 months were a big challenge, but I no longer know how to help. And so this appears, you know, coincidentally timed with this lawsuit. So he may not be completely in agreement with this. Getting into election fraud, more embarrassment coming out of the New York State election system. Auditors reviewing the New York State voter data have uncovered so much fraud, so many invalid registrants, so much manipulation of vote totals, and a secret algorithm embedded in the database that the state of New York can no longer be considered a legitimate state as it has no legitimately elected government at almost any level. Apparently, they through auditing of the voter roll databases obtained directly from state and local boards of elections, auditors have uncovered millions of invalid registrations, hundreds of thousands of votes cast by legally invalid registrations, massive vote discrepancies, and the clear presence of algorithmic patterns reverse engineered from within the state's own official records. Okay, there is no known innocent purpose or explanation for why any of this has happened, but they basically are saying the New York State voter database is completely untrustworthy. So it's a mess. The whole system is corrupt here. Now, there is a story out of Firebrand News, and the title is the sleeping conservative dragon finally waking up? And it's talking about how conservatives and traditionalists are just so totally exasperated at this woke cultural revolution that's going on and how it's basically turned the entire country upside down, even though there's little public support for what's been going on. And the American people don't—they don't agree with the current wide-open borders and unchecked illegal immigration. Yet it continues. Conservatives feel that most Americans reject the trend of biological men dominating female sporting events, and they're concerned that American jurisprudence has become vastly weaponized and warped. And it really has. All right, so let's talk about COVID and. Kind of an interesting story coming on out of Global Research. The author of this article was provided a document from Pfizer through a source at the European Medicines Agency. It contains 393 pages of vaccine adverse events. And so, I mean, massive amounts of these adverse effects. Now, I think this is the same document that surfaced during a Freedom of Information Act lawsuit against the FDA for all of the documents that were used to justify the issuance of an emergency use authorization for Pfizer's mRNA shot. And if you'll remember, the FDA said it was going to take 75 years to release all the files. The judge said, no, you'll have them all out by the end of the year. And in the first tranche of documents, there was a document from Pfizer about post-marketing analysis of their vaccines, all the vaccines, not just the COVID one. And there were a lot of seizure events, all kinds of problems, myocarditis, pericarditis. And it was in this document that I discovered that my polymyalgia rheumatica is, in fact, an adverse vaccine effect. So this stuff is finally getting on out there, and it's all about the Benjamins. And as we reported yesterday, right now almost half of all Americans have some kind of a chronic medical condition requiring ongoing and costly treatment. Okay. Now, let's see. Now, we all know about the Amish. We've got a lot of Amish around here. And they basically rejected the COVID vaccines. They didn't go along with the lockdowns. They didn't wear the masks. And, you know, according to the CDC and the corporate media, the Amish were going to suffer from excess death due to COVID. In reality, the exact opposite happened. They had 30 times fewer COVID deaths than those of us who were locked down and getting the vaccines and wearing the masks and so forth and so on. And basically, it shows that all of these interventions, the lockdowns, the mandatory masking, the mandatory vaccines were completely unnecessary. Remember, the survival rate of COVID-19 is 99.5%. And that 0.5% of people who were dying had pre-existing medical conditions. Okay. Now, we have been talking about these forever chemicals, the PFAS, per- and polyfluorinated substances. These are used in a lot of products from frying pans to clothes. They're used to They're used in paints and fabrics to make items nonstick or waterproof. And it turns out that the manufacturers of these chemicals knew the chemicals could cause cancer and birth defects for more than 30 years. Okay, researchers at the University of California at San Francisco found executives were first alerted to the health risks in 1961, but they failed to raise the alarm until the 1990s. So all about the Benjamins. You know, we've come up with this cool stuff. We're going to make our money. Now, let's talk about fluoridated water. We've been talking about that for quite a while, and there is an article here about two alarming new studies showing more and more harm from this fluoride. Now, topically applied fluoride can help prevent dental caries, but there is no evidence to suggest that just having fluoride in your drinking water has any benefit on oral health. But it is known that fluoride can actually impact children's IQ levels. It is a tranquilizer. And maybe that's the reason the American people aren't getting angry, because most states are still fluoridating their water. I was very happy that Hawaii had stopped. Here in Indiana, we have some of the highest fluoridation rates in the nation, but Claire and I don't drink the tap water here. Okay, let's talk about the international news, because it's getting ugly out there. There's an article in Global Research California, Biden and NATO evoke an inevitable World War III against Russia. And they're sounding the warning, as we all are, a calamity of even greater cataclysmic proportions and consequences is either soon to break out in the war in Ukraine, or sanity somehow finally will prevail against all odds, with all the combatants suddenly finding a way to end the conflict without continuing to kill themselves, and in the process, potentially the rest of us as well, in a nuclear war. So America's neocon radicals and their allies around the world can feel that this war is slipping out of the grasp of their control. Zelensky is getting desperate. He's taking more and more desperate chances, which could lead to retaliation by Russia. Ukraine is now attacking inside Russian territory, and that's a very foolish and reckless thing to be doing. So what is the United States do? Well, they're going to send another $300 million worth of weapons to the Ukraine war. And this will include air defense systems and tens of millions of rounds of ammunition. It's getting to the point where our military stockpiles are starting to get really thin. And obviously, with Russia able to destroy those Patriot air defense systems, obviously more air defense systems need to be sent on in there. All right. So the Pentagon said the latest shipments will bring the total value of American military aid to Ukraine since February of 2022 to $37.6 billion. And the Pentagon said the United States will continue to work with its allies and partners to provide Ukraine with capabilities to meet its immediate battlefield needs and longer-term security assistance requirements, blah, 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 blah. Okay, now there is a report that Ukrainian forces have entered Shevchenko, Russia, which is in the Belgorod Oblast, and there is heavy fighting taking place in the streets, and Russia has responded to it. Now, according to the first report that came out of Hal Turner, Ukrainians are doing a tremendous amount of damage. According to another report that's coming out of Sputnik Global, Russia has already contained this attempt to reprise last month's raid on the Belgorod region, and they're calling it a timely intervention of Russia's military and border security forces. The reality is probably somewhere in between these two points of view. But there were some YouTube videos that came on out showing how civilians are being injured in the uninterrupted shelling of Belgorod. And let's see, the governor of the region, Governor Gladkov, blamed the latest strikes within Russia on Ukraine, saying that Kiev had fired Grad missiles on the district. And he's saying it's facing uninterrupted shelling. And they're calling for evacuations. 300 children are already evacuated. And so it's really intense. Another video shows the shelling that is taking place. And again, the Shevchenko was under relentless fire. Now, Ukraine has issued a demand saying that they will agree to end the war as long as there is a massive demilitarized zone inside of Russia. Zelensky is demanding Russia remove its military forces along its border with Ukraine, and Kiev hopes the area within Moscow's borders will be manned by international forces. It's never really going to happen. Now, Zelensky's advisor, Mykhailo Podolyak, called for a 100 to 120 kilometer demilitarized zone within Russia. Okay. Now, and getting on back to Joe Biden and the Burisma deal and all that other situation, it turns out that the Ukrainian war is threatening a major donor to Joe Biden. And this is basically John Hiananski, a Ukrainian-American, longtime supporter of Joe Biden. He is a millionaire car magnate that owns several car lots around Kiev, and he's floated hundreds of thousands of dollars in loans to the Biden family members, according to property records. Hiananski's son, Michael, who helps run his car empire, lent the use of his Learjet to Biden when he was a senator. And so Biden apparently has a personal stake in continuing this war. So since Russia started shelling the area around Kiev, the U.S. government has spent $77 billion to help Ukraine rebuild and repel future attacks. Now, government ethics watchdogs say the president's friendship poses a potential conflict of interest that demands a full accounting of how the massive foreign aid, which includes open-ended humanitarian and economic assistance, has been used and who has benefited from it. Okay, on the military side, moreover, billions of dollars have gone into very fuzzy areas such as security, intelligence, and training. And so there is a potential conflict of interest, and that seems about average here. Now, over at MSN.com, they have an article about how Biden is showing a growing appetite to cross Putin's red lines. And, of course, the latest one is Biden's decision to help Ukraine obtain F-16 fighter jets. And it's another crossing of a red line that Putin has said would transform the war and draw Washington and Moscow into direct conflict. And it does seem like that's Biden's objective because, you know, history is our guide. Every time the United States gets into a fiscal mess like it's in right now, they get into a major war to distract from it or to try and recover from it. Crash of 1907, World War I, crash of 1929, World War II, crash of 2008, and now 2023. And we're hovering right at the edge of World War III here. All right. Now, Ukraine's allies are speaking out about Ukraine's ventures into Russian territory. They're saying this is really not a good idea. They're urging caution on whether Ukraine should have the right to strike inside Russia because it could trigger an escalation that could drag them into a broader war. Yes, it certainly could do that. Now, countries supporting Ukraine are taking varying stances on how it should beat back Moscow's invasion as Russian territory is increasingly targeted. Now, the U.S. has publicly leaned against the strategy of attacks within Russia, and other allies are more cautious. And so, yeah, they're getting worried. They're getting worried at the direction this war is going. Now, French President Macron said that NATO should offer concrete and tangible security guarantees to Ukraine as the alliance is debating what to offer Kiev at a NATO summit that will be held this July. Now, Macron said it's unlikely Ukraine can obtain full NATO membership, as all 31 members would need to agree, and some, like Hungary, are saying no. NATO's own rules are saying that no country can be made a member of the alliance if there is a current territorial dispute, okay, because they don't want to inherit an instant war here. But what Macron is saying is they want to make the security promises to Ukraine that they would get as a member of NATO without actually being a member of NATO. And meanwhile, Zelensky is saying that if NATO does not provide a path for membership for Ukrainian membership in NATO, that Zelensky is going to skip the NATO summit in Lithuania. So everybody's talking tough on that. Now, the commander of the Czech Republic's armed forces said that the NATO and Russia are on the path to a direct war. He says it is a worst-case scenario, but it is a distinct possibility. And General Karel Recha, the chief of the Czech Armed Forces General Staff, told his country's parliament about the potentiality of a war between NATO and Russia. No one wants it at all, but it is not impossible. And I would tend to agree with him. All righty. We're still looking at that nuclear. Well, actually, we're coming up here on a commercial break. And so we're going to take a few deep breaths here, try and calm down, and we'll be back after these few words.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Gilad Atzmon says the essence of Jewish power is the ability to prevent the discussion of Jewish power.
Jewish power requires anybody in politics to understand it and know about it, but never talk about it.
My Awakening really sums up, with the very best evidence, the facts and the truth about race, and the fact that race drives history, and the truth about the Jewish question.
The younger you get, the greater the percentage of people who identify as alphabet soup, you know, LGBTQ, RS.
This woman, she's like, oh yeah, I identify as a koala 2 years ago. And I'm like, what?
A koala?
What? Maybe if it was Quickie Koala, that might be cool, but otherwise, you know.
How about an N-word pass? Have you ever received an N-word pass from any of your black friends?
Biden invited a drag queen to come for the signing of the Respect for Marriage Act. It's the Respect for Anal Sex Act. So, yeah, I mean, let's just call it like it is.
The Patrick and Jeremy Show, Tuesday at 9 Central and Wednesday at 1 Central.
The secret to aging like fine wine is in the vines. Syrah grape seeds and skins contain high levels of flavonoids and resveratrol. Fermentation breaks these organic compounds down into smaller molecules, penetrating these therapeutic ingredients deeper into the skin, delivering faster and more effective results. Our handmade fermented skincare products are formulated with all natural ingredients and do not contain any phthalates or parabens. Similar products can cost as much as $180. At Natural Earth Medicine, we source our ingredients from local Arizona vineyards and cold process our oils to ensure that our customers receive the highest quality product in its purest form. Learn more at our website and try our fermented skincare products today. Visit naturalearthmedicine.com. That's naturalearthmedicine.com.
Wall Street and the banks rule our politicians. They don't deserve our thanks. Then they tell us the banks are too big to fail. when the banksters all need to be in jail.
And welcome back to our show here. We've got an update on Joe Biden's fall at the Air Force graduation ceremony. Apparently, there was a small sandbag on the stage that was being used to stabilize part of the setting there. And the White House Communications Office is now saying that's what Biden tripped over. And but still, it was a nasty fall, and I hope he's going to be okay. All righty. So we're getting on back to Ukraine here. And a lot of people are very concerned about the Zaporizhia nuclear power plant. Both Russia and Ukraine were unable to come to an agreement with the International Atomic Energy Agency regarding changes to military deployments around the area, storage of certain materials on the site, in order to not invite attacks that could rupture the reactors and release radioactivity. And there's an article that came out of Sputnik Globe, you know, asking, will Zelensky cause Chernobyl 2.0? Because right now that area is under Russian control. So the decision whether to shell it or not lands squarely on Zelensky. And he is definitely getting very desperate. OK, so we could have a complication from that. Now, presidential candidate Robert F. Kennedy Jr. has once again blasted the United States government for lying to the public and to the world about Ukraine while calling out the military-industrial complex in particular. I'm beginning to like this guy more and more. And it's not the first time. Earlier this month, an avalanche of mainstream media headlines condemned his take when he told Unheard the following: "We should have listened to Putin over many years. We made a commitment to Russia, to Gorbachev, that we would not move NATO one inch to the east. And we lied. And NATO expanded to the east. And that's why Russia is very, very nervous about this." Now, in one campaign event, he said, "Our government is lying to us about it. The media is going on with the lie. It's a laundering operation for the military-industrial complex." You remember Eisenhower warned us about that, about you know, having that much money and that much political power. And when your business is making things for war, you're going to work to see that war becomes an everyday occurrence. And actually, the United States, it's hard to find a year when we have not had some kind of a military action going someplace, okay, you know, without killing people some part of the world here. Okay, now, apparently, one of the weapons that the U.S. gave Ukraine has been spotted in cartel hands in Mexico. And apparently there was a man with CDG patches armed with a Kalashnikov rifle and a missile they said was a Raytheon-made FGM-148. And the U.S. is saying, no, it was a different missile, and it's not one of the ones we sent to Ukraine. Everyone's arguing back and forth. Okay, we're going to take a break for station identification. We're going to open the phone lines, 512-248-8252, and we'll be right back.
Find your inner rebel at Dixie Republic, the world's largest Confederate store, located in Travelers Rest, South Carolina. The anti-white, anti-Christ, anti-Southern world ends at the asphalt. Welcome to God's country. Log on to DixieRepublic.com to view our Southern merchandise, from flags to t-shirts to artwork. At the store, browse through our extensive collection of belt buckles and have a custom-made leather belt handcrafted in our Johnny Reb's Gun and Leather Shop. That's DixieRepublic.com, where you can meet all of your Southern needs.
Support those that support the network. Support Dixie Republic at DixieRepublic.com. Email ProudSouthern123@gmail.com and let them know that RBN sent you.
You can't handle the truth.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit RepublicBroadcasting.org today, because you can handle the truth.